Well, I know this yardstick is kind of a reminder of the past, I guess, because it seems like when I was young, everyone had a yardstick, and a lot of times people, I remember one company that my dad done some business with as a young man, would give us a box of candy at Christmas time that had a yardstick on it, and it was like I can't remember, they had some slogan, they measured their I don't know, their service or something by the yard, or I don't remember now. Anyway, it'd be a long skinny box. It wasn't real wide, but it was a box that was probably 3 or 4, maybe 5 inches wide, but it'd be 36 inches long, and it'd have a yardstick kind of taped to the side of it. But the message today is not about a yardstick, but I would like to use it and maybe put something up here on the board. So give me just a minute here. Let's see here. I remember not so much when I went to school first, but I remember when my children went to school, like in the first grade or so, there was always this thing up on the board, or up at the front of the class, and they would have maybe across the chalkboard, or they would have this row of letters up at the top of the board, and it would start out with a capital A, and then it would have a little a, and then it would have the big B, and a lowercase, and they would go across the whole alphabet was facing the class, and there might have been a number line up there with numbers. I don't have room nor the time maybe to put all that up there. But it's thinking about where we start when we start with in our education system, maybe even years ago, sometimes people in the past would refer to their education as learning their letters. But we like to be able to read today, not just learn our letters. And we know that all of us here today are able to read, I believe, and we know that reading is a much more complicated thing than just learning letters. I read something from time to time, and there's words that I struggle maybe sometimes to pronounce. And there's words that I don't recognize and don't know the definition of. Maybe I think I'm pronouncing it right, and then I hear someone else pronounce it and I didn't get it right. Sometimes I think I know the definition of a word and come to find out I don't. Reading sometimes can become quite complex, just like the numbers. When we first start out with our little children, we teach them to count sometimes by using their fingers, and we might count their toes if they got their socks off. But that's not enough, is it? We want our children to be able to count past 10 or past 20 if they count their fingers and their toes. And we want them to take those numbers, no matter how large the number is, and we want them to be able to do other things with them. And we want them to be able to add and subtract. And we want them to be able to divide and multiply. And we want them to, ultimately, we want them to be able to understand what it means to take the square root. And we want them to understand what an exponent is. And we want them to be able to solve an algebraic equation that has numbers and letters in it. And when, then we want them to solve things like geometrical proofs, and we want them to be able to understand chemical formulas and equations, and we want them to not just be able to read the words in the book, and when they first start out and they're reading so slow, and maybe if it's a book you've read to them several times, they pretend they're reading and they're really just reciting from memory and all of those kind of things. But we want them to really be able to read, and not just to read the words, but understand what they're reading. We want them to be able to read something and come to a conclusion, a right conclusion, from reading the information and not having to have us explain it to them as a parent. So all of that becomes very sophisticated in our everyday lives, okay? So our everyday lives become pretty complex in just the things that we do. We depend on mathematics. We depend on reading. All of that stuff is something that we can take for granted, and we think of a time when, you know, to us today, it's pretty foreign for somebody else to hand us maybe their checkbook and someone else write the check out and then even put our name on it, and we just put an X by it. When's the last time you saw someone that done that? I mean, that's really before my time. But there were people in my grandparents' age and great-grandparents' age that they were illiterate. And they might have a checkbook. This is a true happening. They might have a checkbook, take it with them to town, and give the merchant their checkbook, and they would write out the amount that was supposed to be in there, and then they just put an X on the signature side, the signature line. And, you know, it's different than that now. Our literacy is much more common in our world today. So I'd like for us to look here in Matthew, the 23rd chapter. I'm thinking this morning not so much about education and literacy and the ability to do mathematics and all of that, as I'm wanting us to get a hold of some little simple basic component of success in our Christian life. So begin in Matthew, the 23rd chapter. And this chapter, he says in the very beginning, first verse, he said, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples." And this is at the very end of his ministry here on the earth. He said, verse 2, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, and therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost rooms in the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi," which means teacher. All right. So he says here that the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, a place of authority, a place of making of determining things. He said, all therefore whatsoever they bid you, observe and do. They had a lot of good information, a lot of maybe correct interpretation, but they also had some things that weren't so correct. But he said the things that they teach you about the old law, the things that they teach you about God's requirements as far as keeping yourself from certain things, he said, listen to that. Put that in your life. So, let's go down now to verse 22, maybe 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. So, was it important in the under the old law for them to pay tithes? The answer to that is yes, it was important to that. But he said, you do that and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye also ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. You know, I believe that it's very important for us today to have an understanding of the depths of the experience God wants us to have as a Christian. I believe He wants to bless us with the presence of His Holy Spirit. I believe He wants to manifest Himself in individual lives with power, with authority, with demonstration of gifts. It says He gave gifts unto men. And I believe that He wants more of those gifts, those extraordinary gifts of healing, of gifts of tongues, gifts of prophecy, and all of those kind of things. I believe He wants more of those things manifest in our world today. But I believe also that we have to be careful that we don't forget where it's all started, and forget the letters, and forget the numbers, so to speak. He says here, it's important that you pay tithe. That's not the wrong thing, but you forgot some of the fundamental things. Weightier matters of the law, of judgment, of mercy, of faith. So where would we be in our experience in the New Testament dispensation, where would we be without simply having faith in God? Wouldn't be anywhere, would we? You know, if you try to exercise a gift that the Scripture clearly defines, whether it be preaching or prophesying or healing, if you try to demonstrate and manifest that without real faith in God, did you know that it'll collapse, that it'll fall, that it won't be successful? So Lord, help us as we cultivate those deeper understandings and those higher levels of experience with the Lord, that we don't forget the letters. You know, I had the same teacher that tried to teach me how to write properly and to write neatly as all the rest of my classmates had. And I believe that they probably should have taught it better or been more, what would you say, had a higher standard for, you know, some of us need more instruction and more practice in how to write neatly and legibly. But by the time my generation come along, they were more enthused about us knowing reading comprehension and stressing that than they were teaching us the letters. And yes, I can write, and most of the time I can read it of my own writing unless it gets real cold, and then sometimes I can't. You know, sometimes it's difficult for me to read my, and it's because I'm not as particular as I ought to be. I've got to slow down and think about it. I need to be able to read this 3 months from now, not just 3 minutes from now, when I can kind of remember what I wrote down. So the same way, I believe we have to be careful in our desire to be want God's manifestation in our midst, get all fired up about some extraordinary demonstration of God's blessing and His gifting. Lord, help us not to forget the very fundamental things of having faith, of believing, of having trust in Him. I'm trusting Him with being able to save my soul. It's something that I couldn't do in my own. It's not of my own strength that I'm able to be saved. So let's go to Isaiah, the 28th chapter, and notice a very familiar scripture, or at least I think it's familiar, Isaiah 28. And we're going to look at verse 10, I believe. 28 and 10, he says, verse 9, he says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine?" So doctrine, that sounds complicated, doesn't it? That's more like formula. That's more like reading comprehension. That's like we're going to take 2 plus 2 and raise that to the fourth power, and then we're going to do something else with it. That's what doctrine is. It's pretty complicated sometimes. How do we come to the position that this is what we call the doctrine? Well, we gotta know the letters. We gotta know the numbers. We gotta know how, is it uppercase or lowercase? We've gotta know how it all fits together. But we can't come up with the doctrine without having the fundamental stuff. He says here, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept and line upon line, here a little and there a little." You know, in first grade, they don't teach you how to do logarithms. In fact, I don't even know if they teach that at all anymore because we have calculators. You know, so they don't teach some things anymore because we don't have to be as mentally adept as we used to have to be because we have all of this electronics to help us out. But when I remember having to learn, my mother used to talk about doing long division. That's where you divided something out, you know, and you took up maybe almost a whole sheet of paper doing one division problem. Well, you were showing all of your work and carrying them out to however many decimal points or whatever it is. May God help us to realize that doctrine is founded on the basic principles of faith and confidence, the basic principles of realizing that I'm unjust and undone without God, and that it is of His mercy that I'm able to be saved. It's of His blessings that I'm able to have a testimony. It is of His goodness that I'm able to be victorious over the traps that the enemy has out there. So let's go to Hebrews now, the 6th chapter. And notice here, beginning in verse 1, he says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." You know, if we start a new job, and when we start, we want to be the one that does the important task. We start out maybe the first day, and we start out at the bottom of the ladder, so to speak, and from the first day we're there, our objective is we want to be the one that's the supervisor, the one that everybody turns to and asks questions of. Well, it's usually not very successful for someone to come in and just be immediately put in that position. There's some fundamentals that have to be learned. How does this organization operate, and who's responsible for all the different components? And here it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the, what's the principles? What, where does it start? What's it built on? Why is it that we take the position that we do? Well, if we forget the foundation, if we don't truly come to the Lord and recognize that I am lost and undone and I have to have a Savior, I can't do this in myself. If I ever forget that without Him I am nothing, then it doesn't do me any good to have some kind of eloquent doctrine or some kind of ability to manifest some kind of big demonstration. It doesn't do any good. I need to know the basics, the principles. The challenge here is He wants us to go on. He wants us to be able to go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. He wants us to be able to develop and mature and be, you know, I'm thankful that our children aren't just, and I wasn't just stuck at barely knowing my ABCs. The grandpa that I had in my life, he cultivated up until he was very advanced in age, his ability to say the alphabet forwards and backwards. And I could remember he could go in and he would, when I was young, he was always challenging me to be able to say it backwards as quickly as he could, because he could. He would just rattle it off from Z to A just as quickly as he could from A to Z. And it's something he had cultivated and kept in practice. You know, if we don't keep it in practice, what the fundamentals are of what we build doctrine on what we build the more elaborate functions of the church, of being able to minister to other people, if we don't keep the fundamentals in our minds and in our hearts, it's going to end up being like the scribes and the Pharisees. It's going to be like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, like it's not going to be effective. So he says here, therefore, leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. You know, God wants us to get there. He wants every one of us to get there. But He don't want you to get there by skipping steps or forgetting what's involved in that. You know, I like to think sometimes about how challenging it is to transpose our base 10 number system that we use, and all of us here are very familiar. You know, you count to 10, and then you start out with 11, and you get another group of 10, and when you get 10 groups of 10, we call that 100, and 10 groups of 100, we call it 1,000, and, you know, everything is base 10, but you know that computers aren't that smart, okay? Computers can't figure in base 10. They're not smart enough, all right? And the reason is because the computer only knows on and off. That's all it knows. And a computer is base 2 number systems. So When you start taking our numbers, what is just two digits of 10, and anybody know what 10 is in base 2? I didn't figure it out, but I'm going to tell you. It's a long list. I should have done that before I come here. We won't take the time right now, but number 10, it's just a 1 and a 0, and we think, oh, that's real simple. It's just 10. Well, to a computer, it's not that simple. It's a very long number of 1s and 0s. I know it's a little bit tricky to think about this morning. But, you know, I'm trying to illustrate how important it is for us to remember the fundamentals. It's all based on us knowing that there's a 1, a 2, a 3, and all of that. But if we allow ourselves to just think, well, the whole thing about Christianity is you've got to be baptized. Well, hold on just a minute here. What good does it do to baptize if we're not truly repentant, if we don't truly recognize that we need the Lord? What good does it do to have a doctrine of sanctification and being filled with the Holy Spirit if we haven't, if we forget where we came from? We got to remember there's still letters and numbers. There's still the fundamental principles. And I just want to challenge us this morning. I know we haven't don't have a complicated thought, but please remember, no matter how sophisticated a doctrine is, no matter how impressive a demonstration is, if it's based on anything but the fundamentals, it's on shaky ground. If I try to preach something that's way up here on cloud 9 or level 17 or whatever you want to call it, and if I don't have the foundation of knowing that without Jesus Christ I am nothing, it don't do any good. It's just like something the scribes and Pharisees, they had built a whole system of doctrine and of obligations and holding people accountable to things, and it was all built on stuff that had kind of forgotten where they come from and what it was all supposed to be based on. So I desire your prayers for my own self. I don't want to build something up that can't be rooted and grounded in the concept of me being a needy individual, me coming and seeking for salvation from the Lord, and him accepting me, me being born again, a child of God, being accepted by the Spirit of adoption, whereby I can cry out and say, Abba, Father, like the Apostle Paul says there in the 8th chapter of Romans. So I desire your prayers that I'll be faithful. I want to challenge us that no matter how much our understanding is, and no matter how many big words we use, and how expressive our experience is, let's don't forget how we got here, where it all started, and what it takes to keep it going. You pray for me.